If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us today, that you would encourage us, that you would help us, that you would simply be with us. Lord, as we turn to your scriptures, we ask that you would speak to us even today. Give us ears that hear and minds that understand and lives that can be changed. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. In the book, A View from the Zoo, Gary Richman tells about the birth of a giraffe. The first thing to emerge are the baby giraffe's front hooves and head. A few minutes later, the plucky newborn is hurled forth, falls 10 feet, and lands on its back. Within seconds, he rolls to an upright position with his legs tucked under his body. From this position, he considers the world for the first time and shakes off the last vestiges of the birthing fluid from his eyes and ears. The mother giraffe lowers her head long enough to take a quick look. Then she positions herself directly over the calf. She waits for about a minute, and then she does the most unreasonable thing. She swings her long, pendulous leg outward and kicks her baby, so that it's sent sprawling head over heels. When it doesn't get up, the violent process is repeated over and over again. The struggle to rise is momentous. As the baby calf grows tired, the mother kicks it again to stimulate its efforts. Finally, the calf, for the first time, stands on its wobbly legs. Then the mother giraffe does the most remarkable thing. She kicks it off its feet again. Why? She wants it to remember how to get up. In the wild, baby giraffes must be able to get up as quickly as possible to stay with the herd where there is safety. Lions, hyenas, leopards, and wild hunting dogs all enjoy young giraffes, and they'd get it too if the mother didn't teach her calf to get up quickly and get with it. Richman concludes, I've thought about the birth of the giraffe many times. I can see its parallel in my own life. There have been many times when it seemed that I had just stood up after a trial, only to be knocked down again by the next. It was God helping me to remember how it was that I got up, urging me always to walk with him in his shadow under his care. Imagine that. Maybe sometimes even we need to learn to get back up, to stand, to try again. Because the reality is that life sometimes has a way of knocking us down. And yet we can develop the strength, the knowledge, the desire, the fortitude to get back up even when we fall. I wonder if there are times when we need to relearn how to get up again, to develop those muscles, to remember we can, to dust ourselves off again as we try again. While we think about that, let me back up for a moment. Today we continue our third sermon series on our way through the first half of the book of Acts. In the first series, we saw over and over again how the church was gathered together, how they were filled by the Holy Spirit, and how they were sent out to be the church, sent out into the world for the sake of the world. Gathered, filled, sent. In the second series, we looked at the boldness of these early disciples as they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Bold speech and bold listening, bold unity and bold service, bold perseverance and bold serenity. In this series, we're going to see how they now have finally been sent out. And as we do, we should also be thinking about how we as a church have also been sent out. Jesus called those first apostles to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And maybe Jesus has called us to be his witnesses in Southlake and Keller and Grapevine and North Richland Hills and Tarrant County and to the ends of the earth as well. Remember, the word witnesses comes from the same Greek word that we get the word martyr, which reminds us that this may be costly, and yet everything important is. How we live gives witness to Jesus in our lives. So with that, let us turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 32. Acts chapter 9, verse 32. While you're turning there, I'll remind you that last week we saw how Paul was before Paul, he was Saul, and how he was transformed by grace through the work of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and a faithful follower named Ananias. Saul is changed. He is transformed. He becomes Paul. We also saw how Ananias had to respond to the difficult calling of Jesus, how he had to go into what was a dangerous, what could have been a disastrous situation, since Saul had been the one persecuting and arresting the Christians. But because he was faithful to the call, because he responded to the call, the world was changed. Today, our passage will return back to the story of Peter, and we'll see him entering into some difficult situations as well. As I read, I would encourage you to be on the lookout for people who are down and who are invited to get up again. Let's see what happens. Acts chapter 9, verse 32 to 43. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat." Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Amen. In many ways, this is simply a setup story. This is the meanwhile that transitions from Paul's story back to Peter's story. It's really just a setup for next week's big revelation for Peter. And yet, even in this short passage, there are some interesting and important lessons for us to learn. Our passage picks up as Peter is traveling around, visiting various gatherings of Christians, presumably encouraging, teaching, showing them what it looks like to give witness to the good news of Jesus in their lives. While in one of those places, he heals a man named Aeneas, and the people respond to this miracle with repentance and faith. A little while later, a woman named Tabitha dies. She's a godly woman, a saintly woman. We're told she's a disciple. Her death throws the whole town into shock and grief because, as we often think, people like that shouldn't die. But they hold out a last shred of hope because Peter's in the next town, He's done amazing things through the power of Jesus. So who knows? Let's go get him. They send for Peter. He shows up and he brings Tabitha back from the dead. And again, we see the people respond with belief. Everywhere Peter goes, everything he does, he seems to give hope and help as he brings Jesus into these encounters, into these situations. Peter responds to Jesus' calling. Peter knows that he's been sent, and so he lives as a witness to Jesus and the good news of the faith wherever he goes. But the manner in which Peter witnesses to Jesus is interesting. More specifically, I'm struck by this image of Peter showing up and inviting people to get up. And so I want us to spend some time looking at how the people are down, how they get up, and how they are transformed into the kind of people who lift others up. Again, how the people are down, how they are invited to get up, and how they are transformed. And before we're done, we probably should also spend a little bit of time talking about how Peter is able to do this, how maybe even we are invited and called to do this as well. And we'll start with this image of being down, because almost everyone in this story starts down. As Peter travels through this story, he encounters people who are paralyzed, people who are needy, people who are grieving, and of course, even one of them is dead. Of course, we all understand where they're coming from, because we all know that sometimes life has a way of turning upside down and dumping us out. Now, sometimes that's because of something we've done. It's a consequence. And other times it's because of what someone else has done to us. But then sometimes there doesn't seem to be any particular reason for it at all. Sometimes we just end up not well. Even as our passage picks up, we find Peter traveling around, and presumably he's visiting early churches who could use a little bit of a pick-me-up, which we assume is why he's traveling around the area visiting churches in the first place. Because sometimes people end up feeling isolated, feeling depressed, disheartened, downcast. Of course, then he meets Aeneas, and Aeneas is in even worse shape. He is paralyzed. He's been bedridden for 8 years. That is a long time to be stuck, to be needy, to be helpless. Shortly thereafter, Peter encounters the people who are grieving the death of Tabitha, the two who invite him to come, the widows in mourning, and of the other followers as well. And then, of course, there's Tabitha herself. In our story, there are a lot of people who are down. Which isn't a bad reminder for us. Sometimes we fall down. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we become lost. Sometimes we end up alone. Sometimes we lose our way. Sometimes we've lost all our hope. And while we may need to strive to fix these things, the reality is that often we simply need help. We need someone to come into our lives and into our mess and help lift us out. And this is where Peter enters into their story. Peter picks them up, heals people, restores people, encourages people to get back up. Peter shows up in Lydda, and when he finds someone paralyzed and bedridden, somehow through Jesus, he heals him. Get up and roll up your mat. And Aeneas does. And if that's all that happened, it'd be amazing. But in a nearby town, Tabitha dies, and the people are grieving. And when Peter arrives, he goes up into her room, he gets down on his knees, and he prays. And then he tells her, Tabitha, get up. And she does. She sits up. And then he takes her by the hand and helps her to her feet. He then helps her out the door, shows her to those who are grieving, restoring them to wholeness as well. Again and again in this passage, we see Peter inviting people, helping people to get up, setting to work at helping them find their feet again. And as they are brought up, the people are being changed. They're being transformed. Aeneas' life is changed. The people of Lydda are changed. Tabitha is given a new lease on life, and many of the people in that whole area are changed. As we are helped up, and as we help others up, we are changed, they are changed, others are changed. It's almost like our best witness to Jesus in our life is lived out through our service. Now you may be thinking, but I can't heal the paralyzed. I can't bring peace to those who are grieving, and I certainly can't bring someone back from the dead. But you see, these days, I don't think that's even the miracle of the story. Quite frankly, I don't think there are all that many who would believe in it, even if they did see it these days. Instead, maybe the miracle in this passage is a person with Jesus moving toward someone in need, someone who is paralyzed, someone who is grieving, someone who has lost their life. The miracle is the person who enters into that story with the help of Jesus and who loves them, heals them, restores them. This is the miracle of this story, and this is what changes lives. That being said, the obvious question left over is simply the question of how. How is Peter able to do all of this? How does Peter enter into this mess? And more importantly, how does Peter have the strength to lift these people up? Well, first, you should remember that the answer to any question in a church is Jesus. So if you answer Jesus to any of those questions, you're right. But let's dig a little bit deeper, too. Because another part of the answer may have something to do with the fact that Peter knows what it is to be down and to be lifted back up again. If you think back to the story of Peter, if you think back to the Gospels, Peter always seems to be putting his foot into his mouth, sometimes both feet. Peter is the one who sank while Jesus stood on the water because he looked not at Jesus, but at the wind and the waves. Peter was the one who couldn't stay awake when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane on his way to a cross. Peter was the one who betrayed Jesus by denying him three times before he died. All that to say, Peter, more than most, was well aware of what it was like to be down. And that said, more than most, Peter also knew what it was like to be picked up again. So much so that maybe he has finally become good at getting back up again. Because remember, Peter also was the one who first recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. Peter became the rock on which Jesus would build his church. Peter also was the one who Jesus lifted out of the waters so that he could stand on the waters again. Peter also was the one who witnessed the wonders and miracles of Jesus firsthand. And of course, Peter also was the one who was directly forgiven by the resurrected Jesus. Peter had a front row seat to the resurrection, maybe because Peter needed a front row seat to the resurrection. But because of this, he was forever changed by that resurrection. Because he learned and experienced that no matter how dark things become, no matter how hopeless a situation gets, no matter how alone someone is, no matter how low someone feels, Jesus changes lives. And Peter knew this because Jesus had changed his life. And Jesus still was changing Peter. Because by the time we've come to the book of Acts, Peter wasn't just someone who was forgiven and transformed, but he was the one who was filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and then preached thousands into the kingdom of God. He also was the one who healed and cast out demons. He also was the one who reached out to Aeneas and Tabitha and lifted them up. He also was the one whose life continued to be a witness to Jesus living through him. And so it's no wonder that Peter, who experienced this transformation, then shared it through his service. Peter brought the same news, quite literally, into the lives of those who were down as he helped them back up again. In our passage, he moves towards people. He moves into situations that could be messy. He comes close to the uncomfortable in order to make a difference, in order to serve, in order to give witness to Jesus in his life. Because he seems to have a profound belief and hope, faith that things can be better, trust that we can get up again. So he heals Aeneas, and we see the radical impact of this healing on the people. He heals Tabitha, and the people are changed. In caring for others, that care ripples outward. In changing those two lives, the neighborhood has changed, the community has changed. In serving, Peter gives witness to the transforming power of Jesus in his life and in our world. Actually, before we turn our attention to us, it's worth noting that we see this same example play out in the life of Tabitha. She isn't just a disciple in name only, because we see her live out her faith, live out her changed life as she serves others. It is said of her that she's always doing good and helping the poor. What's more, when Peter first arrives, the widows in their grief all keep showing him all the robes and clothing that she has made for them. And the way I'm picturing this, it seems like Tabitha is spending her day serving, doing good, helping the poor, and then at night she's watching her favorite movie or something on Netflix while she sews clothes for those who need it. Because you see, somehow Tabitha knows what Peter knows, that discipleship is more than something for us, but it's something we live out. We give witness to Jesus in our lives by serving others. I wonder where you find yourself in this story today. I wonder if you need to be helped up because you're down. I wonder if you need to enter into some situation, into someone else's story, in order to help them up. I wonder if there are others who need to see your witness through your service. Again, maybe today you are feeling like you are the one who is down. And maybe you need to be reminded, get up. Get up and serve. Get up and do good. Get up and be better. Try again. I wonder if we need to hear Peter's invitation afresh today to get up. Because the reality is, sometimes we too end up down, sick and scared, angry and upset, lonely and lost. And today we need to be reminded, get up, try again, stand. Choose today to stagger back up again, brush yourself off, ignore your skinned knees and bruised ego, and try again. Be better. Get up. Or maybe you know of some people, some situations where they are down, and where you could help lift them up again. Maybe you know someone who could use a phone call, use a note, a visit maybe. Maybe you know someone who simply needs you to be present, available. And it would take some work. It'll take some time. It might be even a little bit risky. But it also may be what Jesus is doing in you and in them. And then it also is important that we remember that this transformation isn't just for us. It's something that we work outward. It's also for the people we come across. It's also for the people we serve. And maybe this becomes our witness. As we serve, people see more of Jesus inside of us, as he lives through us. If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that we would become better witnesses, that people might see you in us. Lord, help us to recognize those who are down, and help us have the strength and the courage to help them back up again. Lord, you know sometimes we are down. Lord, help us back up again. And Lord, help us all be changed, transformed as we help one another. Help our lives give witness to you as we serve one another. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the way that he witnessed this to us. How he lived this out so that we might see you better through him. Lord, help us follow in his footsteps. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.